Welcome back to the Interlude Podcast. You are listening to episode 161, A Conversation with Leanna Gant. Leanna is a breast cancer survivor. She was diagnosed with triple positive, hormone receptor positive, and HER2 positive breast cancer in 2018. And she turned her treatment experience into a mission to simplify medication management. On today's episode, she talks about her treatment and she talks about how she really struggled to keep track of the many medications that she had to take, and they were all in different forms and on different schedules, and the thought of potentially missing a medication or not being able to remember if she took it or not was stressful. And so she realized there is a need for an easy tracking solution, and so she invented TookTake. TookTake is a simple label system that allows people of all ages to keep track of their meds and supplements without removing them from their original packaging, which I think is so huge, because I often hear people saying, I don't really want to put it in a pill box and I just want to keep it in the, you know, the original container so I know which medication is which. So this tracking system is great for that. And her goal for TookTake is really to help others on their health journeys, making it easier to stay on track one dose at a time. On today's episode, we talk about all of it. We talk about her journey during treatment, after treatment, what life looks like now. We talk about her business. We talk about being a patient and all of the unknowns and the certainties and the new things that come with entering this world of oncology and medicine in general, and trying to figure out, you know, what you should be doing, what's normal for your body after cancer treatment. And so lots of great topics and conversation here. And with that, it is my honor to welcome Leanna Gant to the Interlude Podcast.
I'm your host, Dr. Eleanor Toplinski, and I am a board-certified medical oncologist specializing in the treatment of breast and gynecologic cancers. I started the Interlude Podcast as a way to share the journeys and experiences of women who are going through cancer. On this podcast, we talk about anything and everything related to the cancer journey, the treatment, and life after cancer. As a reminder, the information discussed on this podcast is not meant to serve as medical advice. Any specific medical questions should be directed to your healthcare team.
So thank you so much for being here. Can you just start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about who you are?
My name is Leanna Gant, and I'm the inventor of TookTake dosage reminder labels, which I invented during my treatment for breast cancer. So kind of an interesting way to start a business.
So walk me through a little bit about your breast cancer journey, how you started this business. Tell us about all of it.
I got diagnosed, as with like most people, out of the blue, in right before Christmas in 2017 with breast cancer. I had a lump, and I had seen a doctor like 6 months before who said, you know, it's nothing, you're young, don't worry about it. Then I had a new doctor who was just like, you know, yes, worry. So I got diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, from then on, it just, everything was just a mad dash to scans and tests and getting treatment started. And I had triple positive breast cancer. So, you know, estrogen, progesterone, and HER2 positive. But I'm now, have no evidence of disease and have been doing well since then.
Wonderful. It was
during the chemo part. I had so many things to manage all the side effects, and they were all in different forms and different schedules, and I was not at my best. And that's when I started to design little labels to help me and my family keep track of everything and take the stress out of keeping track of it. And over the year I was in treatment, they kind of evolved. And by the end of the year, they were these cute little labels that I thought could help a lot of people.
And so, well, before we talk about the labels and your business, tell us a little bit about the treatment you received. And when was that? How far out from treatment are you?
I'm 5 years out. It was all of 2018. I basically started in January of 2018 and ended right after Christmas 2018.
And just tell us a little bit about the treatment that you received.
So I had chemotherapy for 6 months, and then I had surgery. I had a lumpectomy, and then I had 36 rounds of radiation. So that took me through January. And then the second 6 months after the chemo was done, I kept doing the Herceptin and Perjeta until the
And
end
what
of the year.
about endocrine therapy? Are you taking that now?
I took tamoxifen for 5 years. I just stopped. I stopped just short of 5 years. I had a lot of side effects from that as well, but my team just really was pretty persistent that I just stick with it for as long as I could, because they just said, due to my age and everything, they just really wanted me to at least get the 5 years in. And then I did, they did a test on the original sample from my first biopsy to see if they thought that another 5 years would benefit me. It came back ambiguous, so we decided I was going to stop the tamoxifen at 5 years.
Yeah, that test is called the breast cancer index. So we do send it on the original tumor, and it kind of helps us figure out, does someone need to stay on for more than 5 years? Can they stop it? And I think it can be very helpful if someone's having side effects, like you were. What were some of the side effects that you did have on tamoxifen? Were they bothersome? What did you do to manage them?
Really extreme hot flashes, like all day long, just like dripping with sweat. And we tried adjusting time of day and splitting doses and all kinds of things. And the other thing that I didn't realize until after I stopped the tamoxifen is I had really terrible joint and bone pain, which I knew I had the pain. I didn't realize it was from the tamoxifen until I stopped. Because I had started the tamoxifen when I was still like at the end of my treatment and radiation and everything. So I just connected it to being left over from my original treatment. And I didn't realize that it was really coming from the tamoxifen, because when I stopped, suddenly I was like, oh my God, I have no joint pain and no bone pain. And it was really weird.
Yeah, I think a lot of it when you're on a medication for so long, it's hard to figure out, what's medication related, what's not. And then I think the other piece of it too is, you've gone through surgery and you've gone through menopause maybe in some cases, and you're just trying to figure out like what's my new normal, right? What does all this look like?
Exactly. And I think, it's like my team was so great and so patient in trying to explain everything. And even with them, because yeah, like I'd been through so much, it was hard to tell what was my new normal and what was still residual from chemo or what was the side effect of radiation, because a lot of my pain was in my right shoulder. So they're like, well, it still could be from the radiation or the lumpectomy or like, so they didn't really know. And it wasn't until I was done, I was like, hey, I think I know what it's from now.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things where you just don't know until you do it and you kind of see what's what. So you're taking all these medications and you decide you need a way to organize them. I mean, that's what kind of how do you go from there to I'm going to start this super successful business?
Really, I was so excited to have something that I thought could help other people. And when I was in the midst of breast cancer treatment, I was like, this is really helping, and this would be helpful for people going through all kinds of huge treatments of all kinds of cancer. But then when I was done and just had the tamoxifen, I was like, it's harder to remember to take one thing every day. And that was causing me like personal stress, because I'm like, in my head, it's like, this is keeping my cancer from coming back. So if I wasn't sure if I took it, I'm like, if I miss one dose, does it make a difference? Is it over 5 years? If I miss 30 doses, will
Yeah.
that is that why my cancer is going to come back? And then I'm going to feel bad. And I couldn't take it twice, because I did that once and I felt really sick. So I was like, there's
Definitely don't do
obviously,
that. Don't take it twice. Yeah.
yeah, that I felt really
Yeah.
bad. So then I was like, well, other people have to have this, where they have things that are really just helping them feel their best and keep them well. And it's stressful to not know if you're doing it right. And I was like, well, this is not just for people going through big illnesses. It's for everything. And I really think it can help people. So that's when I just got really excited about the thought of how many people it could help. Because when I was in treatment, it's like, my whole family is focusing on what I'm eating and taking and when. And I have this huge thing, but soon as they're like, oh, you're better, everybody kind of starts disappearing and going back to their normal thing. And I'm like, oh, now it's all on me to remember what I'm doing.
Yeah, and that can be hard. So what is to take exactly in terms of like go through it for people who are not familiar?
Basically, it's a little sticker that has perforated tabs on the sides with the days of the week. I can show you, but if I know this is a podcast. So there's little perforated tabs on the side, and you just pull off the little perforated tabs when you take your dose for the day. So that way, later, if you're looking, saying, "Did I do it?" you know if you took it or still need to take it. Because I found for me and a lot of the people who've started using it now, it's not necessarily remembering you need to take it, it's remembering if you already did it.
And I think, the part that maybe isn't talked about as much is, after chemotherapy, people have some cognitive dysfunction and it can be made worse by endocrine therapy. So, people are tend to be, and like with the stress of everything, people can forget. I mean, I know that I've like thought about, did I take, my probiotic and whatever it is, and then I can't remember, so then I don't take it because I don't want to take two, and but obviously, with medications like endocrine therapy, there's a lot more significance in remembering to take those.
And even like I know like now I use it for like a probiotic, and it's just like, those things get kind of pricey too. They add up. So if you want them to work well, you kind of have to do them consistently. And I'm like, at least this way I know like I'm using them right. I'm doing my best to take care of myself and
Yeah, I think
to
that
not waste
it's
it.
a great way to just be able, be compliant with medications. One of the big challenges in healthcare right now, and especially in oncology, is like assessing medication compliance. Because one of the things that we know is that, doctors are not very, we don't have great systems in place to assess if someone's taking it, right? We can ask someone if they're taking it, but sometimes people will say, "Oh, I'm taking it, but I forget every so often," and then they don't remember how many they forgot. You can ask people to bring in pills, but again, it doesn't help you in the moment. And one of the things we see is if you don't take the medication, it doesn't help.
And I think that was especially true with like managing the side effects. There are so many resources out there, but it was like they all sometimes come with their own side effects. So once we started having the little labels, we could tell the doctor, it's like, okay, we know she took this 3 times and this, the hives got progressively worse. And they're like, okay, we know exactly which thing is causing it. And they could stop it or say if I needed to like wean off of something or switch. Where the first few times when we weren't tracking, we're like, something's giving her a rash. And they're like, well, what did she take? And we're like, well, we think she did this. And it was, that just made a stressful situation even more stressful to be like, I don't exactly remember when she took this or
No,
something silly.
100%. I mean, I think it's just a lot of. There's so much to remember, and medication compliance is just one more thing, on that list. So I'm glad that there is a great option out there for people. Tell me a little bit about some of, the challenging decisions you had to make during treatment. Are there any that come to mind?
I think like the biggest one was really probably a lot of people's lumpectomy versus mastectomy. When I started treatment, I was like, that's it, double mastectomy. I had decided like, that's what I was going to do. And I mean, since my treatment started with chemo, I ended up with 6 months to like really ask more questions and find out specifically more like what my team recommended and why. And at the end of the day, they left it up to me. They presented both sides and were like, but it's your choice. And it was, I feel like that was the biggest decision to make. And I've had a lot of people ask me, like, why didn't you just do mastectomy? And the way I described it, like, to my team was, it's like, by that point in my treatment, I was just really exhausted from the whole process and the thought of having so many more surgeries for reconstruction, and then being on the younger side and them saying you're going to need to get them replaced in, 10 years. And like I was just counting up the surgeries. And for me, I was like, I can't do that. I can't look ahead and think of all these surgeries. But I have a really good friend who's had a double mastectomy, and she's like, I couldn't live thinking I had like a ticking time bomb on me. So I know there's a lot of factors that go into all the staging and types of cancer and everything, but I think at the end of the day, it's just really personal with moving forward, what can you live with.
Well, and I think that there is this misconception that comes that, you know, the breast cancer, this cancer star in the breast, right? Why wouldn't you do a mastectomy is what people think, just take it out. And one of the things that I talk about a lot is that doing a mastectomy doesn't impact your risk of recurrence anywhere else in the body, because what we're trying to prevent with all these medications or reduce the risk of is cancer cells going somewhere else. So taking the breast out versus doing a lumpectomy is not going to modify that risk.
Right. That's what they explained to me. And I was like, oh, okay.
And I think the other part of it too, is that mastectomy, you know, doesn't come, it's a big surgery, you know, especially for people having reconstruction, there's usually multiple surgeries that follow. And that's also a lot, you know, it's not just the one.
Yeah. And I think also the other thing, which even like after my lumpectomy, I don't know that I fully understood, even though I was definitely told what, you know, doctors describe as loss of sensation from the surgery and things being cut. And in my head, loss of sensation and like not being able to feel like parts of my body were very different. Like in my head, it wasn't what the reality was. And even like I got a lot of feeling back. It took probably like almost 2 years to fully like feel like the top of my chest and like my shoulder and the top of my arm. I also had 19 lymph nodes taken out too. So I don't know if that affected things, but I had like a lot of numbness, but to me, like I didn't equate like loss of sensation and numbness as the same feeling. And I know like with mastectomy from people I've talked to, it's like, you have that all over like your whole chest and torso. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of things that people, I think at least for me, like the average person, even though they are told the language that's used doesn't register with exactly how it feels on your body.
Well, and I think the part of it, it's multifactorial. You're right. I think we physicians and healthcare professionals use language that, you know, we don't, it, sometimes you don't realize how it's being perceived, right? Like, and, you know, loss of sensation is pretty standard terminology, but you have to kind of be sensitized to what that actually is. And I think the other part of it is too, I mean, I think if you've never gone through anything like this before, you have no idea, you've no, like no idea what to expect.
Exactly. Like now I would know obviously so much more going into something, but I literally was someone who like, I didn't get sick. I didn't take any medications. I just didn't even think about anything. So even like, when I was like, after I had a mammogram and an ultrasound and they're like, oh, we want to schedule a biopsy, in my head, I was just like, I have people coming over for dinner. Can we move this along? Like, it just never occurred to me that something was going wrong.
Well, and some of it too, I think, is a protective mechanism, right? That you have to kind of be like, in order to get through these really hard things, you have to tell yourself, or your brain's like subconsciously telling you that like, it's nothing, or it's going to be fine. And, you know, but at the end of it, unless you've experienced it, you know, it's funny because I just had a hysterectomy and I see women, I treat GYN cancer. So I see women all day long who've had hysterectomies, right? So you think I would, I mean, I thought I knew what to expect, right? No, completely. I mean, in an intellectual way you do, but until you experience it for yourself, you really, and I think that same thing goes for any medical thing.
Exactly. And then it's like, I always tell like, my husband, like when I was first diagnosed, like I really thought breast cancer was one thing. I thought there was like one type and you had this thing or you didn't. And just even learning there's so many variables and that how it affects treatment so differently and age and your support system. And you know better than I do, but like how many factors go into coming up with a plan for a person that no two people are alike. Cause like, I was getting so frustrated after my first chemo that I'm like seeing people who are like, yeah, I have cancer and I'm running a half marathon. And I'm like, I can barely make it to the bathroom. Like, I don't, how are people like walking around doing things? I don't understand.
Well, and you're right. And that's where I think social media has is great in some ways, but can, you know, be this comparison trap in other ways, because everyone also, you know, everyone comes into their surgery and their treatment at a different point. So it's hard to figure out. You know, I tell people, I want you to exercise if you can during chemo, but if you're not a marathon runner, you're not going to become a marathon runner. So I think part of it is where are you starting from? And then a lot of it too is if you're having surgery and you didn't just have 6 months of chemo, you're again coming at a very different point. So I think comparing, you know, I always talk about setting goals for yourself, right? What are my three small goals that I want to accomplish today or this week? And maybe it's I walk for 10 minutes. Maybe I, the next week, I walk for 15 minutes, or maybe I, you know, I'm going to cook a healthy meal today, or, you know, I'm going to spend more time out of bed than in the, like, all these things that allow us to, I think, progress on our own levels, because everyone's different.
Definitely. And I think also it's like, after the first round, well, I guess like really the second one, we realized it was sort of a cycle. It was like right after chemo treatment, like for the next day and a half before the little, I forget what the thing was that like they stuck on my arm that
Doing
would,
Elasta.
yes, before that kicked in, I was actually feeling really good because, they pump you through, full of all the other
Steroids.
good stuff that
Yeah, you
helps.
feel
So I'm like,
great.
okay, that's when I'm like, we can go to dinner, we can like go for a walk, we could do this, because then I'm like out for 3 days, I'm not moving, and then it would get better. And it was like, okay, we really have to take advantage of this time where I can like go for a walk down the street, or go get out a little bit
Yeah.
before it hits again. And it's like learning the cycle helped too, so it wasn't so, I wasn't so afraid to do things, or it's like, well, what if I go out and I get tired, or like,
Yeah. And
kind of help
a
to
lot of that is
find a
just
pattern.
giving you finding your own path, giving yourself grace, and, you know, recognizing that. And I say this as, I mean, I get it. It's easier said than done, right? It's easier for me to sit here and be like, this is what you should do. And, you know, it's funny because when I had my surgery, I was told these are things that you should do. And I can't say that I followed it all. You know, I didn't, I tried. I was good. But, you know, I definitely wanted to be like, why is this not happening faster? And like, so I think part of it is just really taking a step back and giving your body credit for all of the stuff that it's gone through. And in the cancer space, you know, it's not each thing individually. It's the cumulative effect of all these treatments and the mental and the emotional exhaustion of all of it.
Definitely. Like, I found out during this process that I always knew I was a little claustrophobic. Found out I am now very claustrophobic. And the scan anxiety thing, it's not, I don't even think about, like, my husband fixate on the results of all the scans. The actual just process became this big barrier and obstacle for us in treatment, where I'd have to be like so medicated for them to get through all the things that it became like its own event within the whole cancer event. When every time they're like, we need to do another scan, or we need to do a breast MRI, I'm like, really? Like, I'm gonna
Yeah, I
have
mean,
to.
so, and exactly, and I think it's part of it is these are tests that you need, but also now they come with this added layer, right, of other stuff. And then each like event, like you said, has there's stress, there's anxiety, like it's a lot. You know, we put people through a lot, and we've come a long way. I mean, I think the treatments we have now, you know, we definitely didn't have them years ago, but they come with a lot more diagnostic tests and.
When I think, like, during my treatment, I stayed away from like most cancer-related things on the internet. I was just like, I'm just putting my head down and getting through it. But now, like, I still like look at your posts every day and listen to the podcast. And because even though I'm on the other side of treatment, I still learn tips and things for this new normal. Even 5 years out, there's things people will say, and I'm like, oh, hey, I have that. I never thought to try to fix that, or I never thought to try that. And it's still like there's still so much to learn, even being, technically done.
Yeah, and I think the part of you have to be at a point where you're willing to and ready and to absorb that information, because I think when you are newly diagnosed, it is really overwhelming, right? Like, where do you start? There's so much information coming at you, and I think you're just, again, you're in survival mode. And you know, I see this in my clinic, right? We'll talk to people, talk about tamoxifen. And then 6 months later, they're like, oh, I'm having hot flashes. I'm like, well, you know, we go back to that being a tamoxifen side effect, but even though we had this conversation 6 months ago, it's kind of like there were so many other things happening that it didn't register as like. So I think that
Exactly.
I think you have to be ready to consume that information when you're ready, but also, and I try to talk about this a lot, is consuming it at a time that is good for you, that is not going to create more anxiety. And I feel like I perpetuate this a little bit because I do post more at night just because that's when I have time. But I don't want people on the internet at night, looking. I want you to look at it in the morning. So I think part of it too is like if you're looking at bad, scary things right before bedtime, that's not good for sleep hygiene or the lights of the phone and everything.
Yeah, I did the just sort of like I love the team that I had, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to look for any outside information. I'm just going to go with what they say, and I'm on a like need to know basis. I don't need to know, like they told us the whole plan, but at the time I'm like, okay, I only kind of need to know what to look out for today. Like I don't, if you pile it on, I'm going to tune it out and I'm not going to listen to you.
Well, and I think that
So.
part that comes down to one knowing who you are as a person, right? Are you the person that consumes like is in piecemeal? And I do the same thing. I lay out the plan for people, but I'm like, well, today we're only focusing on this, right? Right now we're in this chemo part. That's what we're going to talk about because it also can seem so daunting. Like I need chemo, I need surgery, I need radiation, I need more pills, I need more IVs, infusions, like. Right. It's hard to even picture what that's going to look like, how that's going to disrupt your life for the next year plus.
And so much of it is in a language, like you said, it's sort of like the loss of sensation versus numbness. Like there's terms being thrown around that it's like you think you know what they mean, but you don't really know until it's happening. And it's like when they're like, you're gonna get a port put in. I'm like, okay, like honestly, I had no idea what a port was until I'm like in the hospital. I'm like, what exactly am I doing here? Like, where does this go? What am, because I didn't want to look online because I thought I'd be scared.
Yeah,
But
and I think that happens. I mean, that does happen so much more commonly than, there's a reason why when you go for a procedure, they will ask you like five different times, why are you here? What are you having? Because they need to make sure that people don't wake up with something and go, what? I didn't agree. What? I didn't agree to this.
it's right, because I had never been in a hospital, well, other than to have my daughter, but like for a surgery until I had the port put in. And when they came in and the nurse did that, do you know why you're here today? I was like, you have the chart. Don't you know why I'm here? Like, I completely panicked. And I'm just like, I want to go to a different hospital. These people don't even know why I'm
Yeah.
here. They're
Well,
like,
and
we need you to get surgery.
that's a really important point, right? Because then again, it's one of those things where the nurses are like, well, this is policy, this is what we have to ask. And as the patient, you're like, what's wrong? I don't know, like, do you have
And the
someone else's
radiologist
chart?
is asking, like my surgeon who sent me there, she comes in and is like, so do you know why you're here today? I'm like, oh goodness, does nobody know why I'm here?
It's like a bad dream. You just can't like wake up from it.
I'm just, and they like explain, like, no, everybody has to ask, but still it was very unsettling. I'm like, so everybody's sure we know why I'm here now, right?
Yeah,
Like
I think the question is, I think it needs to be prefaced with this is something that we have to ask everyone. We know why you're here, but can you tell us why you're here? Right? And then you'd be like, all right, good, I'm here for this. But yeah, it's a lot of it is just making sure that that there is no coercion, that people know exactly what procedure they've agreed, they know the risks, the benefits. But yeah, I mean, all those, it's a lot all in the beginning. And I think when the dust settles a little bit later, that's when time people come back and go, and this happens to me all the time. People will come back and say, I know I just got chemo for 6 months, but can you tell me a little bit more about it? Like, can we go back and talk about why
Yeah.
I needed to do that? And it's not coming from that they didn't hear me the first time. They just weren't in a place where they could, they're like, I know I need chemo. That's all I need to know for right now. Right. But then coming back and saying,
Exactly.
can we go into why that really needed to happen or like what the chemo was?
Well, and that's where, like, my husband came with me to like every appointment after the initial diagnosis. And I felt really lucky because, especially as treatment went on, chemo brain and all
Yeah.
that, like I could hear stuff, and 2 seconds later, I would have no idea what anyone said. But he would hear everything and know what to ask because he wanted to know what to expect. So he didn't panic seeing me doing certain things or feeling a certain way. And like I felt really lucky because I met a lot of people in the clinic when I was getting infusions who didn't have that kind of support system, and I could see them writing notes and trying to like know when they should call or when they should do certain things. And I felt really lucky that I had my husband there to like hear everything for me. So if I panicked, he could be like, no. They told us this.
Chemo brain is very real. I mean, very real. And I have seen it manifest itself like immediately. I'll have a conversation. We'll talk about these are the tests that we're ordering. This is when you're going to come back. They go out with my coordinator and they don't remember what we talked about. And these are intelligent, educated people, young people. And it's not a communication thing. It's truly chemo brain that you just, it's your, it's this fog.
It was crazy because I usually like would pride myself on my memory, and my doctor would literally leave the room, and I'd be like, "I know he just told me I'm about to do something. What was it?" I would like walk out, and then also like I had trouble sometimes describing what was happening because I just like couldn't really find the right words and terminology to make him understand. And like at one point, around I think like the fourth infusion, I was like, I get this like really bad like shaking sort of, I'll just like out of nowhere I just feel like I'm gonna kind of crash, and I get really really cold. I was trying to describe it and he's like, oh, you know, it's your chemo. And then it happened right in front of him and he was like, oh, okay, we know what's happening now. But like, I couldn't describe it properly to him. It would just sounded like this hodgepodge of side effects. And he's like, you need a blood transfusion right now. I'm like, okay.
And this is
But
where writing things down can be very helpful. And because also in the moment, you know, these visits are short, there's a little bit of time pressure to get everything in. And you know, like this happened, I don't remember the date of when it happened, right? It's also hard to like help and provide tangible solutions. So I always encourage people, write everything, bring someone with you, write everything down and write your questions down in advance and prioritize your most important questions at the beginning.
Yeah. And I don't know if they have it at all clinics, but like there was a nurse navigator at the one I was at who was just amazing for like helping field questions in between too. So I didn't have to like wait every time. Like we could email her to with little questions so that when we went in, we didn't have a list of like 50 things that we were trying to get answered.
That's a great point and great advice. You know, ask your doctor, how do I reach you or how do I reach your staff? Is the patient portal a good way? If I have questions that come up in between, how should I handle it? Because everyone does do it a little bit differently. And it becomes, you're right, otherwise you're walking in with, you know, 20 questions, you
Yeah.
might not have time to get them all answered, but also if you're experiencing some chemo brain and cognitive dysfunction, that's a lot of information to retain all at once also.
Yeah, and even when you write it down, it's hard to like, what exactly did this question mean? I don't remember when I had this, so. And I found like, you know, every infusion brought a whole new set of side effects
New side
and
effects,
things with it.
new questions, right? And what does this mean? And those are normal. I mean, that's normal. Like someone, you've never gone through this before. So it's very normal to have, you know, and I think there's become sometimes a disconnect between what the patient is experiencing, right? And what we as doctors are like, oh, this is that. Clearly, you need a transfusion, right? But you didn't know that.
Never even, I didn't know why I would need one, or but as soon as he saw what was happening, he's like, I know what's wrong with you now. But like I didn't know how to describe what I was feeling to him. So, you know, luckily he knew.
Well, I think that's where it's important because you wouldn't maybe necessarily know because you've never gone through this before, right? Now, if you got it again, you're like, oh, the last time this happened, I needed a transfusion. So now I'm having it again. But that those first moments are really, you know, you don't know what's normal. You don't know what's normal anymore for your body. I think that's where it comes down to. So you don't know should you be having this? Should you not be having it? Is it common? Any of that?
Yeah. But I'm glad I got through it. And on the other side.
A successful entrepreneur after that. Where can people buy the labels?
You could get them at CVS. You could get them at a lot of independent pharmacies around the country. Also on Amazon and at tooktake.com.
Fantastic. Anything before we wrap up? Anything we didn't touch on or things you want to share?
Not that I could think of. I hope that some of this helps some other people out there. And just been great talking to you. I followed you for so long. It's been so fun.
You. And where can people, if they want to connect with you, where can they find you on social media or on your website?
You can write to me through the website. I do everything on the website or through social media, on Instagram or at TookTake. Just DM me, message me, however you want to reach me.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening to this conversation. I thought it was a great discussion about so many crucial and important topics. And I definitely recommend checking out TookTake. I think it's, you know, one of the things I get asked a lot about is, hey, what's a good gift? Or what should I get someone who's going through treatment? And I know people like to assemble care packages and things like that. And TookTake labels are a great thing that may go in that. So definitely check out TookTake.com. And you can find Liana on Instagram at TookTake. As always, you can find me at Dr. Duplinski on all social media platforms. Reach out. Let me know what you thought about this episode or others, what you want to hear more of. And if you have a minute, I am always grateful if you can leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because it helps me grow the show and bring it to new listeners. Thank you all for being here, and I will see you soon.